Live on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5 o'clock. Donal Kavanagh at the news desk with the Highland Radio main evening news in this bulletin. Ulster Bank is to sell more than 5,000 non-performing mortgages to a US vulture fund. 1.4 billion euro worth of loans are to be sold to Cerberus. Cairn Donegal station is not fit for purpose and has been the subject of adverse health and safety reports in recent months. Issues have also been identified around station security. The chief superintendent has been briefing the joint policing committee. The drinks and hospitality sector in Donegal would be vulnerable to a hard or no deal Brexit. We'll be speaking to The Economist, who wrote a report, and 11 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning. And later in the bulletin at around quarter past five, we'll have the sports news with PJ Lynch. The Ulster Bank is to sell more than 5,000 non-performing mortgages to a US vulture fund. 1.4 billion euro worth of loans will be sold to fund Cerberus. Political correspondent Sean Defoe has been looking at the situation.
Ulster Bank is offloading more than 5,000 non-performing mortgages to a US vulture fund. The group, Cerberus, has agreed to buy 1.4 billion euro worth of home loans that are in arrears. Ulster Bank says no mortgages that are being paid on time and no one who's engaged with the bank on an arrangement will be affected. The bank says it will be in touch with all those people who are having their loans sold. Those customers will be given 90 days notice of the sale. The portfolio includes 2,300 private home mortgages and around 2,900 buy-to-let properties.
Carl Dieter from Irish Mortgage Brokers says such a move was to be expected.
It's probably to be expected. Banks are being asked to reduce the number of non-performing loans they have. Selling the loans is one of the ways to achieve that. It's much faster than trying to go through the court system and resolve the loan arrears in the way that they've tried so far. That hasn't worked. It's been going on for 10 years. This does it overnight, so obviously it's very attractive to them.
Cairn Donegal station is not fit for purpose and has been the subject of adverse health and safety reports in recent months, as well as that issues have been identified around station security. Chief Superintendent Terry McGinn recently briefed the members of the Donegal Joint Policing Committee about the situation, telling them that it may be necessary to temporarily relocate Gardaí from Cairn Donegal to the station in Clonmany. Efforts are currently ongoing to secure funding for remedial works at the Gardaí station in Cairn Donegal that would require such a move. As part of a consultation with the JPC on the issue, councillor and JPC member Albert Doherty says it's vital that a time frame is provided confirming when Gardaí would be relocated back to Cairn.
I have to say it's quite obvious, number one, that there needs to be a template outlined, a template which will have a start date and an end date, confirming when work would commence, the relocation of the Garda party back to Cairn Donegal. And when I spoke to the local officer in charge in Cairn Donegal, he was unaware at present. He didn't rule out that those above him might be aware, but he had no evidence of consultation as regards the needs of Cairn Donegal Garda station. So there's a whole lot of gaps that need to be filled, but I welcome the commencement that's been initiated now by Chief Super Terry McGinn, because the Cairn Donegal barracks is, as is reported by the Chief Super, it has been subject to adverse health and safety reports. There's issues of security. It's a very small building in Cairn Donegal. It was there to serve two Garda and a sergeant once upon a time. Now we have nine Garda and a sergeant housed there, so there is time for action.
At a time when rural facilities are very much in decline, places like Cairn Donegal Garda station are no doubt very important for the community.
Very much so. And presently, that complement of Garda are serving the area that is the Clonmany Parish, the Mallon Parish, the Bakken Parish and the Cairn Donegal Parish. And to have them relocated to Clonmany only would leave the whole of North Inishowen void. We have to make sure that that doesn't occur.
And that was Councillor Albert Doherty there speaking to Rory Williams. The drinks and hospitality sector in Donegal would be vulnerable to a hard or no-deal Brexit. A new report written by DCU economist Tony Foley shows that just under 8% of all employment in the county is in that sector. The report was commissioned by the Drinks Industry Group of Ireland and finds an economic shock such as hard or no-deal Brexit would make Donegal vulnerable to job losses and business closures. The group is seeking a cut in alcohol excise tax to allow businesses invest and offset the worst effects of Brexit. Well, Tony Foley says the prevalence of tourism in Donegal, particularly from the UK, presents potential difficulties.
The real problem, of course, is that it depends not just on tourism from Britain, but also from cross-border tourism, and seeing the effect of sterling on tourism, that British tourism declined by 5% in 2017, and it's increasing slightly in the first part of this year, but not by enough to compensate for the 5% decline. If anything, it'll get worse if we do end up with a hard Brexit, but it's certainly not going to go back to more competitive levels for Ireland, so we face difficulties there. The bigger problem now is that if we do head towards a hard Brexit in its extreme form, the access is a big issue in terms of getting tourism into Ireland economy.
You did mention the cross-border element, and at present anyone from Derry, Tyrone, Fermanagh, further afield,
that's right,
who wishes to come to Donegal just comes. If there was any question of passport controls or whatever,
right,
then people wouldn't be as inclined, you believe, to come.
Absolutely. And not even that so much that they wouldn't be inclined to come, it'd just be extra hassle and one would look for other areas. When you think about it, when we go for hospitality activity and we go for entertainment, we don't really want lots of hassle getting there. We want the easiest route possible. Now, that's not to say, of course, that lots of people still won't cross the border in both directions and it'll be impossible to police all the crossings and so on, but it will make life more difficult. And anything which makes access more difficult reduces the attractiveness of taking advantage of whatever tourism facilities would be in each other's jurisdiction. It just makes life that little bit more difficult.
And that was Tony Foley there, the economist from DCU who wrote that report for the Drinks Industry Group Ireland. There were 11 people awaiting inpatient beds at Letterkenny University Hospital this morning, two of them on emergency department trolleys. Nationally, over 370 people awaiting admission at hospitals, the largest number, 46 at University Hospital Limerick. The search for missing Derryman Martin Crumlish is intensifying, with police following up on a potential sighting last week. The 26-year-old hasn't been in touch with his family since Saturday, the 4th of August. Now the PSNI are asking all drivers with dash cams in their vehicles to check them if they were in the area of Foyle Road or Letterkenny Road between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. last Wednesday. There is a photograph of Martin on our website. Martin's sister Natalie spoke to Greg Hughes on this morning's 9 till noon show.
Just want him home, and it's just like a roller coaster that you can't come off, really. And oh, it's awful. And we just wish he was, we knew where he was and he could come home. Martin, he's a very quiet boy. So he is. He's very smart and he's kind. He's just a lovable character, so he is. He's very caring. He would do anything for anybody, so he would. Martin's always in contact with his family. He's always, you know, if you need him, you know, you phone him and he'll always be there for you. Or, you know, he'd be up in my house and he'd be, and his friends, or, you know, he's, you can, it's very, it's not like him just to completely go missing like this. It's very, very out of character for him. There's been a possible sighting of him down the line in Derry, out towards the direction of Carrigans. That was the last possible sighting of Martin. He hasn't been active on social media neither. So he hasn't, and if Martin, and if you're out there, and if you hear me, I love you. And we just want you to come home. And we miss you. We just want you safe.
Okay.
Just come home.
And anyone listening, check around your property, check different things and what have you, and help Martin get home and get in contact with his family. It's possible he could have ventured into Donegal, Natalie. It's not impossible at all.
Yes, no, it's not. It's definitely not.
Okay.
So just hope he comes home soon.
And that was the sister of Martin Crumlish there. That was Natalie speaking to Greg Hughes on this morning's 9 till noon show. Just to repeat, there is a picture of Martin on our website, highlandradio.com. And if you have any information, or if you were on the Foyle Road or Letterkenny Road in Derry on last Wednesday between 11 a.m. and 5 p.m, please do check your dash cams if you have such a facility. The Irish Cancer Society says people should go to their doctor if they have any concerns about possible symptoms. The Society has published a study which shows many people are avoiding visiting their GP with potential symptoms. 1,000 adults were asked why they didn't seek medical advice, and the responses ranged from fear to embarrassment to money worries. Well, the head of research for the Irish Cancer Society is Dr. Robert O'Connor.
3/4 of Irish adults have not visited their doctor for some reason. About 2/5 of them, it was money reasons. Another third were issues around being too busy and difficulties with those kinds of areas. So we want to encourage people to take control of their health, and if they have concerns, to go along to their GP. Survival rates have gone up by more than 10% in the last decade alone. Nearly 6 in 10 cancer patients, even with invasive cancers, can expect to be cured. People need to, I suppose, try and put that fear aside and recognise that any conversation around cancer can empower them and increase their chances of a good outcome.
Killybegs and Bundoran have been classified as moderately littered and littered respectively in a new study from Irish Business Against Litter, this time concentrating on waterways and marine areas. Almost 40% of the country's rivers, beaches and harbours are littered, according to the findings of the survey. The IBAL figures show parts of Cork Harbour and Doolin Pier in County Clare have been labelled litter black spots. Only 8% of the areas surveyed were deemed clean to European norms. They included Salthill in Galway and Kinsale in County Cork. With more detail, here's Adrian Harmon.
The Antashgir report for Bundoran stated that much of the litter appeared to be related to fishermen with broken or dumped items. All other areas surveyed had small amounts of litter. Non-food items included street cones and discarded tyres. The IBAL survey classified the town as littered. Meanwhile, the report found Killybegs to be moderately littered, stating it was a mixed site with some very good and very poor areas. Much of the litter present was along the rock armour. Examples of marine-related litter included piece of wood, rope, string, plastic sheeting and strapping bands. All were found on land and in the water. Other food-related items, as well as traffic cones, plasters and gloves, were also uncovered.
Well, Killybegs councillor Niamh Kennedy says she accepts the findings of the report. She believes much of the litter in Killybegs is caused by people visiting the area in campervans.
Oh, the, without a doubt. I mean, that is noted. We've noted it even at the weekend. I mean, a friend of mine was his round to do the clean-up, and he just said, look, we've got to do something about this. This is all camper van stuff. We know what it is. And we see it more and more because there's more and more camper vans in the area, and they're most welcome. You know, let them be assured of that. But it's just how they treat their rubbish and how they treat their effluent. All of that needs to be addressed by Donegal County Council and how we manage this. We've even talked about taking these bins away altogether from the shorefront because of this problem that can arise with litter and the seagulls pulling out the litter out of the bins. So we're not quite sure what to do. We tried a few mechanisms before by making the holes of the bins smaller, all kinds of things like that.
Gear up for back to school this September with Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, station roundabout Letterkenny, or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's approaching 5:15 and we say good evening to PJ Lynch.
Good evening, Donal. We'll start with Gaelic Games, and Donegal ladies player Yvonne Bonner has been named the Croke Park LGFA Player of the Month for June. Bonner displayed some excellent form as Donegal retained the TG Cad Ulster Ladies Senior title before embarking on a successful run in the All-Ireland Series to date. Bonner scored 4 goals across the course of 2 matches in the Ulster Championship, and in the All-Ireland quarter-final clash, Glenfinn clubwoman Bonner scored 5 points as Donegal advanced to a very first semi-final appearance. Bonner will hope that there's more silverware to come as Donegal prepare to lock horns with Cork in the first of the TG Cad All-Ireland semi-finals on August 25th. Tyrone legend Brian McGuigan says they'll need a big step up in performance if they're to challenge Dublin in next month's All-Ireland football final. Niall Sludden's 64th minute goal helped Mickey Hart's side edge out Monaghan by a point in yesterday's semi-final, while Dublin enjoyed a comfortable 9-point victory over Galway on Saturday. 3-time All-Ireland winner McGuigan feels his old side will need to raise their level in the decider.
Going by today's performance, it'll not do against the Dublin team, who are just setting the world alight, and you know, you have to give them credit because they keep coming back, and I know from myself, you know, winning an All-Ireland, come back the following year was always hard to do, but for Dublin to be doing it consistently year after year, you know, it's a credit to them. But it's ideal. We had to go into a final for Mickey Hart and his men, because everybody's expecting Dublin to win, and especially after Tyrone's performance today, where I would have to say that Monaghan probably were slightly better than Tyrone, and a lot of Tyrone's main players didn't play to their potential.
There's a big funding boost for Hockey Ireland ahead of their qualification campaigns for the Tokyo Olympics. The Irish men's and women's hockey teams are the main beneficiaries of a new €1.5 million fund for high-performance athletes. They'll receive €500,000 of the total. In all, 17 bodies will receive money from the pot announced last week by Minister for Sport Shane Ross, with Horse Sport Ireland and the Olympic Council both allocated €175,000 each, while €100,000 is going to Paralympics Ireland. Golf and US captain Jim Furyk has confirmed the first 8 members of his team for this year's Ryder Cup. World number 1 Dustin Johnson, US Open and PGA Championship winner Brooks Koepka and Masters champion Patrick Reed are joined by Jordan Spieth, Bubba Watson, Justin Thomas, Webb Simpson and Ricky Fowler. Tiger Woods, who is up to 26th in the world after his second place finish at the PGA Championship, is hoping to be one of Furyk's 2 wildcard picks ahead of the event in 6 weeks' time. Furyk says he's excited by Tiger Woods' recent form.
I think there's a lot of folks out there that probably think he can help us. And we'll, you know, really what we wanted to talk about today was the top 8 players. I realize Tiger's a story. I realize he's playing very well, and I'm excited to see that.
In soccer, almost 30,000 tickets have now been sold for next month's Liam Miller tribute match. The game between Celtic, Manchester United and Republic of Ireland legends on September 25th at Páirc Chaoimh is expected to sell out. Roy Keane says it's a chance to celebrate his former Manchester United and Ireland teammates' achievements.
There'll be obviously sadness, but also it's important that, you know, Liam's family get a chance to kind of celebrate his career, and, you know, with the players on show and hopefully a big crowd. You know, hopefully that will just, you know, help them a small bit anyway in terms of their recovery. So, yeah, there'll be sadness there, but also we need to kind of celebrate Liam's career and what he achieved in the game.
Finn Harps and Derry City go into the hat for tonight's FAI Cup second round draw. Harps had a 3-1 win over Bray, while Derry City had a record 12-2 victory over Blarney United in the first round. Holders Cork City are also among the 16 teams in the draw, as well as non-league sides CIE Ranch and Maynooth University Town. Liverpool defender Virgil van Dijk says they won't get carried away after beating West Ham 4-0 in their first Premier League game of the season. Jurgen Klopp's side finished fourth last term and reached the Champions League final. After a summer of heavy spending, they've been tipped to challenge Manchester City for the title. Chelsea midfielder Willian says there's no chance he'd still be at the club if Antonio Conte was still manager. The Brazilian international has revealed that he turned down a summer move to Barcelona in order to remain at Stamford Bridge after they appointed Maurizio Sarri as Conte's successor. Willian says he'll only leave the Blues if they choose to sell him. Preston North End manager Alex Neil says Republic of Ireland winger Daryl Horgan asked to leave in order to boost his international chances. The 26-year-old joined SPL side Hibernian on a 3-year contract at the weekend. Neil says he was unable to promise Horgan enough game time to impress Ireland boss Martin O'Neill. In cricket, Brady were crowned the North West Cricket Union Premiership champions for the first time yesterday. They needed just a point from their final 2 games after controlling the lead for most of the season, and though they lost to Brigade yesterday, they received 4 points, which was enough to secure the title. Highland Radio's cricket correspondent Eamon McLaughlin spoke about Brady's first ever Premier Division win.
Congratulations to Brady Cricket Club winning the North West Premier Division yesterday. Although they lost the game to Brigade, they still only needed a point and they picked up 4 points. First time in the history of the club that they've won the Premiership Division, and full credit to them. They've mostly an all-local team. They've got a professional, but the rest of them are all locals. Not like some clubs who have paid out a lot of money to try to win the league, and it hasn't worked out. Brady have stuck by their guns, brought young players through, and it has paid dividends. Congratulations to David Scanlon, the skipper, very enthusiastic cricketer and a very good cricketer who's done very well for them, including yesterday scoring the winning hit to get them to the championship. But they're a very good young side, and they're going to be around for quite a while now because they've got talent on the side and they bring players through, as I said earlier, which is always a good sign. So first time in the history, I'm sure the celebration went on last night, but they probably won't get the trophy to the last game of the season. I'm sure there'll be a bigger party that night. But full credit to them. They've won it quite easily and they end up with 2 games to spare. So congratulations to them. Fully deserved.
Eamon McLaughlin there. And finally, in rugby, there's mixed news for Ireland head coach Joe Schmidt ahead of the start of the new rugby season. Ulster winger Jacob Stockdale is out for up to 8 weeks with a grade 2 hamstring strain, which will rule the Six Nations player of the tournament out of the province's first four league games of the new campaign. But Tommy O'Donnell has linked up with the Irish squad at Carton House after recovering from shoulder surgery. The flanker will also be first for Munster's first Guinness Pro for Munster's first Guinness Pro 14 match against the Cheetahs next month. That's all your sports news here on Highland Radio today. Your next sports update here is after the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. But for now, it's back to Donal.
Thanks, PJ. Ryanair management and union reps are locked in talks this evening in a bid to resolve the pilots' dispute. It's hoped a deal can be reached to avoid further strike action. Reporter Paul Quinn is at Dublin Airport.
This dispute has so far seen 5 days of strikes by around 100 Irish-based pilots, with the cancellation of more than 100 flights and travel chaos for thousands. These Ryanair passengers say they'll think twice about choosing the airline in future.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely makes you rethink choosing them in between different countries if they're going to continue to strike.
The strikes will definitely affect my decision, I think.
Today's talks began at 9:30 this morning. Mediator Kieran Mulvey has given both sides until Wednesday to find a solution. Ryanair says it's confident a deal can be reached, while Bernard Harbour from the Forza Trade Union is optimistic but admits there's still a long way to go.
I think once Kieran Mulvey is involved, then we're in the business of trying to find a solution, and you don't really have a solution until you've got a solution to everything. So in a way, whatever's outstanding has to be bridged over the next few days.
If both sides fail to reach a deal by Wednesday, Ryanair passengers could face more disruptions in the coming weeks, with unions warning further strikes can't be ruled out. Paul Quinn at Dublin Airport.
An appeal has been launched after a large number of metal barriers went missing following the Mary from Dunloe festival. It was initially reported around 60 barriers were missing as the cleanup operation began in the wake of the festival, which drew to a close on August 6th. Since the social media appeal, 40 of the barriers have been accounted for. Around 20 are still missing. Speaking on the 9 till noon show earlier, the festival's director, Joe O'Donnell, appealed to anyone who knows of the barriers' whereabouts to bring them back.
We had 60 barriers missing, and that number has dropped to just 19 or nearly 20 barriers. They were miscounted, and there was some of them taken out to other festivals around the. You can stack up 25 in a bundle. So we're still missing 19 barriers, and if we don't find them, obviously the festival has to pay for them. I mean, you can see through five or six or seven whatever barriers, a couple of people out and a bit of fun on a night out, but 20 is a lot.
I think really anyone who sort of deals with scrap metal in our region that might be listening to this show perhaps could keep an eye out as well, because if they were lifted for that type of reason, and it seems like maybe the amount you could carry in a vehicle handy enough, that they'd need to keep their eyes open too, or we hope they'd keep their eyes open too for it.
That's right. We would appeal to anybody who, or even anybody in the area, if they've taken them for a reason, just bring them back, and there'll be no more said about it, I think.
Meals on Wheels could soon be delivered with the help of An Post. The Minister of State for Older People, Jim Daly, has approached the Postal Service about the prospect of using their delivery network. It provides items to over 2 million addresses on a daily basis. Under the proposal, prescriptions, groceries and bottled water could also be included. Deputy Daly says there are many people who could benefit from such a service.
The real winners of this scheme materialising would be people who are particularly living in rural Ireland, living on their own, vulnerable, often elderly people. That they could have a daily service, and the postman would be delivering more than just bills to the householder, that they could be delivering essential supplies or indeed very welcome additions to their day, such as Meals on Wheels.
Well, the forecast for today and into this evening, it'll stay mostly cloudy with some light rain, drizzle or mist in places, fog on hills. Tonight, lowest temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees Celsius, light to moderate southwesterly winds. Tomorrow, Tuesday, again cloudy with rain and drizzle at times, highest temperatures 16 to 18 degrees Celsius in moderate southwesterly winds. And looking at the main stories for today, Monday the 13th of August, Ulster Bank is to sell more than 5,000 non-performing mortgages to the US vulture fund Cerberus. 1.4 billion euro worth of loans included, 2,300 private home mortgages and 2,900 buy-to-let properties are included. Carndonagh Garda Station is not fit for purpose and has been the subject of adverse health and safety reports in recent months. The Chief Superintendent has briefed the Donegal Joint Policing Committee about the situation, saying that in the event of remedial works, it may be necessary to move Gardaí from Carn Donagh to the station in Clonmany on a temporary basis. The drinks and hospitality sector in Donegal will be vulnerable to a hard or no deal Brexit. A new report written by a DCU economist shows just over 8% of all employment in the county is in that sector, and the government has announced fodder shortage measures. Next news at 6. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 13th of August. The death has taken place of Daniel Cullen, 18, Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Removal from there on Wednesday morning at 20 to 10, going to St. Enan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the family plot at Conwell Cemetery. House private pleas from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. The death has occurred of Daniel Ward, Affert, Arranmore Island. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock on the island, with interment afterwards in the local cemetery. Family time pleas from 11 p.m. to 10 a.m. and private on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Art McGrath, Maharennan, Letterkenny. His remains will repose at the family home tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Mass of the Resurrection in St. Union's Cathedral at 12 noon on Wednesday, followed by interment in Conwell Cemetery. Family flowers, please, donations in lieu of desired to Good and New, care of Patsy McCauley, funeral director, or any family member. Family time, please, before the funeral on Wednesday morning. And the death has taken place of Michael Kavanagh, Ardsmore, Gortahork. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning for 11 o'clock mass at Christ the King Church, Gortahork, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Rosary at 10 o'clock. Donations in lieu of flowers to renal dialysis care of any family member, or Gallagher Funeral Directors, Gortahork.